This is Speaking of Events, the podcast for event industry leaders. We bring together innovators, strategic rock stars, and visionary creatives to talk all about events, industry trends, and anything in between. And speaking of events, here is your host, Carrie Garbus.
Years ago, I was personally coaching a young man. I'm going to call him, for the sake of the story, James. And I'm coaching him on professional presence. He's young. He's in the financial industry. He wants to up his game in overall presence, in-person networking, getting to know people, getting his name out there in the name of his financial firm. And after we had been working for a few months, we decided it was time to put some of his new skills to the test out in the real world. So he registered both of us for a local Chamber of Commerce event. And I was registered, was like, James from James's financial firm, which was totally not what it was called, and guest. And I was just to be as guest, and not from an organization. And my goal was simply to be kind of fly on the wall, observe him in action, give him feedback later. And so we get there, it's an evening event, we arrive and I get my name tag and I realize that my name tag is completely wrong, or maybe James misrepresented me when he registered me, but instead of Carrie Garbus, guest, it says Kelly Harbus and from James Financial Management. That's what it says. Kelly Harbus, James Financial Management. And I'm like, okay, well, what should I do? I make a big deal of this? What do I do? I'm like, well, you know, I'm at the chamber event. I'm just going to go with it. Slap on the name tag. And now I am Kelly, the financial advisor, all of a sudden. And I went undercover and the evening went pretty well. Anybody who wanted to talk to me was like, oh, tell me about James Financial Management. And I was like, oh, well, James is right here. Let's talk to him. And I would throw most of the people at him and he did pretty well. He did good connections and I mostly stayed undercover, although to my normal behavior. You know, I'm an extrovert, so networking is my jam. So to be at a chamber event and not be able to connect with real people was actually very hard for me. However, I did it. I handed it over. I made James the superstar that he is today, still at James Financial Management. He's doing well and a networking rock star. You too can be a networking rock star at chamber events. And I share this story, not to say that I go undercover very often. I share it to introduce today's guest who knows a lot about chamber events, maybe something about going undercover. Maybe. We'll see. Oh, we'll see. Ooh, I may have uncovered some undercover work. We'll see. I am thrilled to have another Massachusetts resident on with Speaking of Events with me today, events and program manager at North Central Massachusetts. Guess what? Chamber of Commerce, Kat Deal. Welcome. Yes, woot, woot. Welcome to Speaking of Events.
Oh, I am so excited to be here today. Thank you for inviting me, Carrie.
You are very welcome. This was an exciting idea for me. It's me, Speaking of Events. I talked to so many people that are part of large organizations and global events. There are a lot of event professionals working in the community on the local level. You have needs too. You have important things to say too. And thank you for being here to share those with us today.
Thank you. I love the idea of a podcast that's just about events and just talks about the good work that happens, not just chamber events, obviously, but just events in general and what events can do for the public and people that attend. And I think there's so much to be said about it.
Oh, well, I agree. Yes. And tell us, Kat Deal. It's so much fun to say your full name, by the way. And just call me Kelly Harbus. The what, Kat Deal, is the one thing you wished more people knew about events?
Oh gosh, one thing.
Or two, one, or seven, whatever. Or seven, you
maybe
want,
ten. Really, I would say if I had to pick one, I would say that events seem more intimidating than they really are. Because I hear a lot, I don't know what I'm supposed to do at the event, or, you know, who do I interact with? Or, you know, is there a program? And, you know, a lot of times the events I plan, yes, there's a very good program already laid out for you. There's already a timeline. There's an agenda on the printed program right at your seat. But, you know, some events are not. Some events are a little more free for all, and some events are networking, and some events are not program heavy. And I think that it intimidates some people. I think we have spent the last 2+ years very comfortable in our own homes and with our own families and with a very small group of people. And so here we are emerging and coming back out. And I think that it's a little intimidating for some folks. And I wish that people really understood that, especially the chamber events that I plan. I'm at every event. And I think that it's just come, just experience it. There's nothing intimidating about it. Don't you get out of your shell, get out of your home, get off Zoom and go see some people in person.
Absolutely. And first put on some pants. That's going to be my
okay.
First
yeah. Advice. Take off the sweatpants, put on some regular pants with some structure and then come.
Yeah. Yes. Structured clothing. Although there's no body shaming. So, you know, if a muumuu,
not at all. Not from this girl, that's for sure.
Yes, right? Okay. Now that we know we're all inclusive on clothing, we're good. What would you say? What do you say to that really nervous person? How it can be intimidating. You're walking into a room with people you don't know.
Yeah. I would say just come stand by me. Honestly, I have lived in my community for 20 years and I have been an extremely active member of my community. My husband was, you know, we coached soccer, we did Girl Scouts, kids are in the band, student government. I mean, you name it. I was put myself out there. I always have. And I am an extra extrovert as well. And I think that when I'm at events, I know so many people. And even if I don't know someone, it's just my nature to want to get to know someone. So when I do have folks that are like, oh, just come stand by me. And I will introduce you to the people that I know you're going to enjoy talking to. But honestly, even if I'm not at an event, it's not my event. If someone is hesitant about going to an event, my thing is always just go. What's the worst that can happen? You don't talk to anybody? Well, you're not going to talk to anybody if you don't go anyway. So the worst that could happen is you have a nice appetizer, maybe a drink, you know, something different. Maybe you'll meet someone, shake a couple hands, or maybe you won't. The worst case scenario is you leave and you don't think you found any value out of it. But I can never imagine that that's what happens. There's always value to be had, always.
Yes. Oh, agreed. And I often share that for the nervous, the good tip is, and it may feel counterintuitive, is to get there early, to be one of the first people there. And people are like, but I don't want to go. That's so scary. Well, it's way less scary to walk into a more open room. You can find the cat deal of your chamber events and stand by her. And then also if you are standing there friendly faced or sitting there alone, it's a networking event. People are there to talk. They're going to come over to you. Or how wonderful would it be to say, hello, it's so nice to meet you. Hey, the bar is over there.
Let's get a drink.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. That first step is always so hard, right? That first step is always the hardest step in anything new or scary. I think that people always feel like, you know, that, you know, I can't even take the first step. But I agree, getting there early is great because the room will be empty. You'll have a chance to talk to the event planner, probably, who's at the registration table, or someone else who works there. You'll understand the layout. You'll scope out a great spot. I would always get a spot. If there's seating available, always get a spot that faces the entrances so you can see the folks coming in. There's so many ways that you can tackle that, but just go. It's so hard to change behavior. And I know that the world's been a scary place, but we're opening up, and events are back. And I love the fact that I am back in person, even though I have a long history with webinars, long before my chamber days, I have a long history of webinars, but I'd rather be in person. I do better in person.
Me too. I agree. What do I need to prepare or bring with me for an in-person event? What do I need?
If we're talking about chamber events, always bring a business card, even if it's an electronic business card. I know a lot of people are using those now. It's a way to, you have a QR code that someone can scan and it brings all your information in as a contact. Just have it prepared and have that 30-second pitch ready to go. And the 30-second pitch is really just, hi, my name is Kat Deal. I'm the events and programs manager at the North Central Mass Chamber. I've been here for 3.5 years, almost 4. I really love what I do. You know, these are some of the things, you know, I'm also, you know, I'm also an avid kayaker, or I like to go hiking, or I snowshoe. Those small details at networking events, that's what people want. Yes, I am a program and events manager. That's what I do for my living, but that's not who I am. And the way that you make those connections with other people are not always based on your job title. That might help, but making the connection just to another person on a basic level, just, this is my name, this is where I'm from, this is one thing I like to do. I think that having that prepared and in the can, ready to go, so that you're not stumped by that first person who's like, hi, my name is, and they're already prepared for it. I think it just gives you just a little bit of ammo, just a little bit of ammo to set yourself up for a great event.
Yeah, I'm going to add to that. You and I, first of all, I just came up that we would be the best networking coaches on the planet, first of all. Second of all, the Kelly and Kat, that's my networking name now. That's my chamber name now. Yes, the pitch, and have a couple open-ended questions in your back pocket. Yep. that you can ask them, and something more than yes or no, and not really like super political, yeah. You know, something any really like highly contentious. So like, oh, I, you know, I'm Carrie Garbus. I own Ovation. We're a communication skills training firm. We help speakers get ready for all sorts of events. What are your thoughts on Ukraine? Like, yeah, let's not go there. Something maybe more innocuous than that. Just to get the conversation
just
going.
Keep it light, you know, keep it light. What was your favorite vacation, or yes. What's the next vacation you're planning? Vacation's always a good one to talk about, especially, you know, during, you know, any season except winter. I'm a winter lover, so I go on vacations in the wintertime because I'm a snowboarder, but vacation questions are always a good one.
Yeah. Or what, like, how are you finding this event?
Yeah, right? That's, they're probably nervous too. Everybody's a little bit nervous. It's not just you.
Everybody's nervous. And always go to the lonely person, the person alone, because they're dying for, right? I mean, that they're there to network. If somebody's alone, go talk to them. They want to hear from you.
Yes, that's usually the person I target at my events is, I'm like, why is someone not talking to anyone? There's 75 people here. Let's go talk.
Yes, right. Exactly. Let's mix this up. Absolutely. So if the chamber, the success of the chamber is the community and bringing community members together, and something that I really enjoy when I have gone to chamber events. So how did you get through the last 2 years? How did you do that? Your whole deal, Kat Deal, is bringing people together.
Yeah, that was great. No,
it was so fun.
No, let me back up just a little bit, because I used to work at a company. I worked at a company called Esesso, and they're still in business, and they're an online platform. They do everything, you know, everything from ticketing, but they're an online platform. And I was hired to be their training coordinator, and I did the job remotely. 85% of us were remote because it's a computer tech company. You don't have to be in the same building. And so they hired talent from across the country and actually across the world. So I was really lucky to come into this company. I worked from my home. I didn't have like an office. Some of the staff had offices, and I worked out of my house, and I did everything online. So I was a person who was teaching and creating webinars on how to use software. So I was already well into the webinar world, and I left that job and was like, I really miss people, and my kids are graduating high school, and I want to be back in an office with people. So I decided that it was time to look for you know, something in an office situation. I ended up working for, I ended up being a private contractor. I worked for a local ski area and was helping them redo and relay out and replan all of their fall festivals. It was a big deal for them. I had worked for them for 8 years prior, so I knew what the festivals were about. So I was a really, it was a really great pairing for me, but it was what made me realize, I'm like, wait a minute, why am I looking to be a training coordinator? Why am I not looking to just plan events? And I did plan events for my tech job. I planned a week-long seminar, 90 plus classes, 300 to 500 people, week-long, two outings, an evening cocktail party. So I was already doing event planning. I just was doing it on a yearly basis or bi-yearly basis. I also did the staff outings. So I made the decision to, in my job search, put event planning. And this is the first job that popped up. And I read the description and I thought, oh my gosh, I can help small businesses. Oh my goodness, I can make connections for people. I can make effective change in my community. Why is this? Why have I never done this before? And so when I came to the chamber, I was so excited not only to be back in person with an amazing staff. I work with such a great team, but I was planning events. I mean, it sounds like a cushy job and there are moments of cushiness, but then, you know, so that was October, and then in March, the world shut down, and I was like, you gotta be kidding. I couldn't believe it, and I just pivoted and relied on my webinar skills, and I already knew the technology I needed because I worked for a tech company. I already knew the software I needed because I did this prior. We made some small investments. We were really lucky because we had a business partner that wanted to help us with this, and so I pivoted, and that was the word. And, you know, unprecedented and pivoted were like the 2020 words. And we pivoted. We pivoted every program. We took a 2-week break to make sure that all our staff was able to work from home. And we did have to cancel a couple events. All of our networking events we canceled because at that time it was, you know, everybody was still getting used to Zoom and there was a lot of Zoom issues happening and I wasn't going to be a part of that. So I said, let's just not do that. Let's not do the networking ones, but we pivoted everything else. And so we moved online and we used a great software program and I started editing videos again. And now we have a library of like 40 webinars. Yeah. So I was really lucky. I had the history. I had the knowledge. I had the technology to use. I had everything I needed to pivot our office into an online format.
What platforms, what's your current tech stack or what was your tech stack?
So I love GoToWebinar. So GoToWebinar does GoToWebinar and GoToMeetings.
Yes.
The reason I really love them is one, the output videos are very high quality. Yes, it takes a while to render. In terms of if you're recording multiple video inputs, like a Zoom meeting input where you have all the videos. So you can do that on GoToWebinar as well. At the beginning of the pandemic, they limited it to 6 people on camera. And within weeks, they were like, oops, that was a mistake. Let's let everybody who wants to be on camera be on camera because they're losing a ton of money to Zoom. So we use that for our presentations where we don't want everyone on camera, right? So I have to say that there are so many platforms to use out there. There is something for everybody. And there's a level of which you can use it and cost for everybody. So GoToWebinar, Team Meeting, Zoom, Google. I mean, there are so many ways that people can connect. But for the programs that I was doing, which a lot of it at the beginning was talking about coronavirus, talking about restrictions, talking about the laws, talking about how this affects businesses, how can small loans be done, PPP loans. I mean, our office was processing all that because we have an economic development arm. So I needed to make sure that all of that was out there. And what I didn't need was a bunch of people getting stuck on a potato filter and looking like potatoes on my screen. I'm not trying to be rude here, but you know, we needed it to be in a somewhat serious setting. So made sure that, you know, so we use GoToWebinar for that because not everybody can get on camera unless the organizer says you can be a panelist, you can be a presenter. There's levels of even access. So GoToWebinar was definitely a savior. And it's an investment, but it's one that I'm really excited that the chamber has continued to invest in, even though we move back to in-person events. We do use Zoom a lot for, we use that for any of our group meetings, committee meetings. We did staff meetings over Zoom. And I also use, we also use the GoToMeeting portion. We were doing, using that for recording podcasts right off early because a lot of people were having issues with cameras. And we thought, well, this is just a conference call then, right? We don't need the visual. So we were, you know, I think the nice thing is that there are so many options for what you can use. And then on the post side of it, you have to choose a software for editing. And then again, you know, there you've got all those options as well. So we particularly use Camtasia Studios. That's one that I've been using for a long, long time. I actually love it. It's it layers tracks for you and it's a little geeky. Sorry. I did tech for a long time. So I'm a little geeky when it comes to tech.
I know. I love it. I'm loving it. We are loving it. Go. Yes.
Yeah. So it's just, I think that there's enough out there for everybody to have the ability to do webinars and it takes so little. And it's just, it's minor software to learn. It really is. It's, I feel like any chamber, any business organization, any organization that is continuing to do remote work is using webinars in some format and that they should be capturing that information if they can, editing it and saving it. I think it's just great to have that.
Well, that nice parlay into my next question, which is what are you using from what you learned in the past 2 years in today's events?
Oh gosh. So I think that, well, minor things, right? But they're big things. Like we don't do tables of 10 anymore, do tables of 6. Gives people a little more elbow room. Instead of using smaller spaces for events, we use larger spaces so people can spread out. Outdoor as much as we can, right? You have to roll with it. There's so many options to do that. So we definitely have some meetings that let me back up for a second, because one of the great things about having pivoted to webinars is that now when it snows or in January, I don't even try for in-person. Why would I try for in-person? We do it online.
Yeah.
Because there's no reason to, then I have to cancel and I have to send everybody a link and I have to, no, we just, January and a good part of February, we just go online for some of our meetings because there's no reason not to. Why wouldn't we just go online?
Smart choice for here in New England. Yeah. For sure.
Right. So I think that there's a lot of lessons that have been learned and a lot of adapting that has occurred over the last 2.5 years. And to be a part of it and to be in an organization that supported that, that's really amazing because not every organization could support it and could do that and make the investments that were required to do it right. And I'm really lucky that my chamber, my boss and my teammates understood the importance of investing in a platform that really was robust enough to handle what we wanted to do and to maintain the level of programming that we have. We have a very robust program. We have about 100 programs in 10 months. I wanted it to be right. I wanted it to be done right. And so when we came back in person, it was making those small changes. No more buffets, plated breakfasts, plated lunches. You know, everything in containers, right? Individualized containers, as much as we could bring it back. We did. And for those who weren't able to make it or were uncomfortable, we did a lot of recording and a lot of live casting. You have to be adaptable when it comes to events. You have to be ready to change. Everything from, oh, look, all the decor in this era is like the pastels and the soft edges and the marketing is, to now we're going right back to the lovely 80s of jewel tones, right? So just following those trends, like there's so many things that you can do to set yourself apart for events, but being adaptable is the best thing you can be. Is if you're going to be an event planner, be adaptable, be ready for things to fall apart and change and roll with it.
Yes. And shout out to jewel tones. I do love a jewel tone. Absolutely.
Me too. Listen.
What? Personally, did you learn anything about yourself in the past 2 years? I certainly had a couple of like, oh, wow, this is interesting that I learned this about myself. Anything that comes to mind?
Sure. I think that I learned that I'm actually a little smarter than I thought I was. And it was a good moment for me to realize that I have a skill set, you know, when you, so, you know, when you go from one job to the next job, to the next job, to the next job, you know, and I'm a long-termer. So like, I will do 8 years somewhere, you know, I don't want to just, I never was that person. I realized that I have a lot of experience that I was able to really pull from. I didn't realize that speaking in public and being afraid of that would also translate to being nervous speaking into a camera and without an audience. And I think I was really lucky in my previous job to have so many people that were, you know, they were already remote and working like that. So they understood how to do it and they didn't, it didn't bother them, but it became obvious that not all of my speakers were comfortable with the technology end. And so learning how to kind of resort back to my tech days and be a tech person, I was like, wow, I still know all of this stuff. Like just doing troubleshooting on the phone with people. It's like, no, go here, do this, click this up. Oh, nope, I can see your camera now. Yep, I can see you. Those things really made me feel good. Like I was like, I didn't lose it. I didn't lose all my tech skills. And you feel valuable, right? You feel like I can help this person who I, you know, asked and they were gracious enough to be on my program and speak to my group. So for me to be able to be like, oh, I can help you with that. No, let me help. It just really, you know, I think it's a value boost. It's just an internal boost for yourself to say, look what I can do. Look what I have. Look at these skills. So I think that while I learned a lot of other things, you know, I think we all were put to the test. I think our resilience was all tested across the board. It was great to be able to say, wow, I can do this. I got some skills. I got some skills.
You do have some skills. You do. Skills. And then the speaking in public thing, that's like, that's my skill. That's my jam. And that was a nice moment for me to realize that because we were a virtual we've always been a virtual organization, Ovation, my company. So I like to say we were Zooming before it was a verb. It's funny because we used to be GoTo and now we were Zoom right before the pandemic hit. We went to Zoom. We were way ahead of the curve.
So
we're trendsetters or not. All of a sudden it was nice to, as a company that supports hundreds and thousands of speakers a year for in-person events, to all of a sudden say, no, we can also help with supporting speakers in the virtual environment as well. So speaking of speakers, because it's my favorite topic, do you have any speaker disasters?
Goodness. Okay, so previous to my chamber life, I was doing, as I mentioned earlier, prepping and planning a week-long seminar. And when you're working with 90 plus classes, and you know, I think I had around 40 to 45 presenters, it's a lot to manage. It definitely is. And don't lie, things are gonna fall through the cracks, you know? And you have to do it all remotely until you're in person all together the very first day. So I'm really lucky to have been there a day earlier because my kickoff cocktail party always had a speaker. And typically the president of the company would introduce them. And we were all going along. I keep checking with the front desk. They haven't checked in yet. Maybe they're in the hotel somewhere. I keep emailing. My speaker hasn't shown up. This is the kickoff. I have 300 plus people in a room waiting. And I have no speaker showing up and I have no means of which to understand where they are. I have nothing on, no messages, no phone calls, no nothing. I have left messages at the front desk at the hotel we were at. I left messages with the concierge at the conference center. I was covering all my bases. And I had to, right before my boss introduced the speaker, I had to run up on stage. If anybody listening to this has ever been at one of my events or seen the pictures of our events, you will notice you don't see me. I am very much so not in the pictures. I am behind the scenes running everything. And I will come out and network and stuff at my networking events. But if I'm putting on a program, typically I'm behind the scenes making sure everything is running smoothly. So here I am running on stage and I am not happy. And I have to tell him that, you know, here we are at the final hour and yeah, they didn't show up. And I will say I did a great job in the terms of already having someone in the back pocket and saying, I know who we're going to get to speak. It's not a big deal. It was our biggest sponsor of the event. The CEO happened to be there. It was just a fluke. He came in and I said, this is who we're going to have speak. And my boss, without even missing a beat, just turned around and said, we have a new speaker tonight. I am so pleased to announce and present, you know, and it was great because he hadn't done any of the intro for the other speaker yet. And he knew this man very well. They were good friends. So it was a really easy segue. But I will say that that is any event planner's biggest fear.
That a speaker doesn't show up.
They don't show up.
Where were they?
They were stuck on a plane and unable to contact me, circling the airport, trying to get landed. They were supposed to land like 3 hours early. The flight was delayed. They couldn't land on the tarmac and couldn't get in touch. And this was back in 2010, maybe. So, you know, they didn't have a cell phone on them and it just was crazy. And when they finally did land and the apologies were there and I felt very bad for them. They, you know, they were sweating it on an airplane and I'm sweating it on the ground. At least I had a replacement ready, but it's the biggest fear is this. And I will say it's one of the reasons when I came into this position, I started October 1st and in November the 4 days later was our first event and that I was going to be running. And I had no idea what it was. I had not a clue. I didn't have a clue what I was doing. I was here for 3 days. I was started on a Monday. The event was on Thursday and it was a big event. It was a congressional luncheon. Jim McGovern and Nikki Tsongas were here. And I was like, this is awesome. You know, and
can you share who for our non-Massachusetts listeners, can you share who those people are?
Sure. So that is Congressman Jim McGovern and Congresswoman Nikki Tsongas. They are the Massachusetts Congress folks. And it was, you know, for me as an event planner, you know, to have them already, like, it was all done. You know, I walked into everything and it was, you know, ready to go. It, you know, I realized like, well, this is why you always have two speakers, right? Always have two speakers. They both showed up, but if one of them didn't, I still had one in the back pocket. So as an event planner, yeah, that's your biggest fear. And you always got to have a backup plan. And so I always have a backup plan.
This is also why as the speaker, and we tell our speakers this, I get hired as a professional speaker and all our trainers within my org, you always travel the day before. I don't care if the event is at end. This has happened to me many times. I'll get hired and the event is an evening event. And they're like, oh, so we'll just get you a hotel room for that night. And I'm like, no, I actually need one for the night before too, because things happen. Kat had to nicely, very reschedule this recording right now because my flights were so epically delayed the day of our original recording. Yep. So yeah, absolutely. So
chaos is everywhere and you just got to be ready for it. You just do.
Chaos
ready for everywhere. Anything and everything at an event.
Yes. So shout out to the world, speakers, anybody, please fly the day before.
Please.
And now I'm reading the information from some airlines just going around, like fly 2 days before your choice, maybe a bit excessive. Also, the week I had a couple weeks ago when we had to reschedule was, I would say, yeah, fly 3 weeks before at that point.
2 weeks before.
Do what you need to do to get there to be on time. Okay, so other than arriving the day before, which we established is really important, what else is kind of the number one thing you wish speakers did to make your job as the event professional easier?
If you're going to have a presentation, walking into the event with a thumb drive is really difficult. I make it work every time. And it happens all the time. And I think because I have such a strong tech background, it doesn't bother me and I can slide it in. I know how to project. I know how to split my screen. I can do all that with my laptop. But more preparation, because I know that my speakers are always preparing. You know, we send the questions out. We ask them for questions. One of the things I will never have at one of my programs is a gotcha moment. I would never do that to a speaker. Someone has kindly given their time to me. I'm not going to do that. So we always do a lot of preparation. So in that same spirit, I know they're preparing as well. Just send me your slides. I mean, you know, just send me your slides. It'd be great.
Yes. Yes.
It happens. And I think one of my favorite, and I know Lou would say the same thing, Sheriff Louis Evangelitis, from Worcester County Sheriff. He is a great guy. If you are in the region or look him up, you will note that he is taller than Charlie Baker, one of the few people here in Massachusetts taller than our governor. But he spoke at one of my Good Morning North Central breakfasts and emailed me and texted me the night before, "Hey, did my secretary tell you that I might be bringing slides?" I said, "I heard that was a possibility." I said, "I was thinking I would have them the day before." And he said, "Well, I'll see you in the morning. We'll see if I can get through this." And he came about 10 minutes early, handed me a flash drive and said, and he'll tell you and say, "I don't know if you can work any magic with this, but there's a slide presentation and a whole bunch of pictures on there randomly thrown on this flash drive. Can we make that work?" And I said, "Of course I can. Not even a question." And I went behind the curtain, which is literally what I did. I went behind the curtain. I loaded up his flash drive. I sorted through the pictures. There was probably about 30 just individual pictures in there and then a slideshow. And I jumped around and stayed behind the curtain. And he said, "And I think there's a picture in here of the bakery, of the kitchen renovation." And I would go through and I would find the picture and I put it up on the screen. And we were at the Boys and Girls Club Gala, and he recently told someone, he goes, "I don't know what Kat does back there behind the curtain, but it's pure magic." And on the front side of that curtain, everything looked amazing. And that's what matters. So that's what matters to me, is that on the other side of that curtain, it always looks perfect. So, you know, I would love a speaker to bring me their slides and to be prepared and to do all that. But I know everything, life is busy. Everybody's life is busy. So if that means that my speaker walks in and says, "I have a flash drive. Is there any way you can make magic happen?" Yeah, I can absolutely make magic happen any day.
Yes, and you do. Wow. If anybody can do it, magic maker Kat Deal can make it happen. That is amazing. Thank you for sharing that. That's fantastic. All right, Kat Deal, are you ready?
I'm ready.
We're going to jump into the Lightning Express round. I am going to put 45 seconds on the clock. There's not a clock. And I'm going to ask you 7 questions. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, here we go. Kat Deal, what is your favorite moment in the event process?
Oh, execution. Absolutely. Ooh. Day of execution. Love it. My nice. Favorite.
Who do you consider your mentor?
Oh, Dave Primus. He was my old boss at Accesso / Seriouswear.
Okay.
Great guy. Amazing.
Nice. What is your favorite Girl Scout cookie?
Oh, tag along.
Oh, yes. Okay. A classic. I like it. What do you do every day to stay healthy and sane?
Oh, healthy. I tend to my chickens.
Of course you do. You live in Western Mass.
They also keep me sane.
Of course you have chickens. Yes.
They keep me sane as well.
And the chickens keep her sane. How many chickens do you have? That's a follow-up.
I have 6 chickens. Yeah. 6 chickens.
Do they have names?
Yes, they do.
What are the names?
They're
the
terrible
chickens?
Names.
Oh, I can't. Oh my gosh. This is the best. Yes.
Garlic, yep. Sage, thyme, chicken patty, Jane Austen, and Emily Dickinson.
Of course. Those are the best chicken names I've ever heard in my entire life. Okay. I don't know if I can continue with this lightning round. If you weren't talking to me right now, what would you be doing? Would you be feeding the chickens?
No, actually, I would be preparing for a strategic planning meeting, which I haven't done yet. So don't tell my boss.
You're like, please finish this up so I can get there. All right. If the potato filter is out, what is your favorite camera filter for online meetings?
I would say I love when people use fun backgrounds, like I'm in space, or I'm at the beach, or I'm in Ireland. And when you're like, you know, you're sitting in your bedroom at home.
Right.
I love That's destination awesome. Backgrounds. I think they're just like our way of being like, it's okay. I'm still just sitting here in my home office, and I'd really like to be wherever it is behind me.
Right. Okay. That's fabulous. Final question, Kat Deal. What is the best way to take care of an event professional?
Oh gosh. Take care of an event professional like myself? Oh.
Yes.
You know what the best thing any event professional wants is help cleaning up at the end.
Yes. Okay.
Offer to help clean up at the end. I'll tell you right now, we love it.
Congratulations, you have lived through the Lightning Express round.
Woohoo!
And now we know chicken names, and that's
all my chicken names.
That's everyone. Okay, they all were adorable and funny, and except Chicken Patty is.
Listen,
I guess it's like Chicken Patty, like Patricia. Is that it? And not.
No. So no. We also used to have chicken noodle, like chicken noodle soup.
Okay.
Yeah. And we used to have a rosemary and a garlic.
You said garlic. Garlic's in there.
I did. Okay, pepper. Oh, then the other one was pepper.
Oh, pepper.
Yeah, we've on and off had a bunch of chickens, and chickens are really stupid. Like, I don't know how else to say it. They're not the greatest. They're not the smartest out there, but they're amazing creatures. Like, my yard is so cleaned up because of them, and you know, eggs. They do. And an egg a day, almost every chicken will lay about an egg a day.
Awesome.
So, and my neighborhood loves that because they all get the eggs.
Yes.
Now, yeah, chickens absolutely. Were great. My husband walked in on April 6th, 2020, and he was supposed to go get his tires changed from his winter tires to his regular tires. And all I can hear is cheep, 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 cheep. And I'm like, what is going on? And he goes, don't kill me. And he has a box of six chicks. I'm like, oh my God.
Chickens.
So yeah, we got COVID chickens like a lot of people.
A lot of people did. A lot of people did.
It was a thing, you know, something wonderful. To do with your time. Yeah.
Well, thank you for spending this time with me. You are a busy woman. You've got a lot going on. 100 events a year. That's incredible. I would encourage everyone to, even if you are not on the local level, to check out the North Central Chamber of Commerce because of the sheer volume. You can gain some inspiration and bring some local community feel into your large scale events. Thank you, Kat Deal, for spending time with me today.
Thank you so much for having me, Carrie. I really appreciate the opportunity to speak with you, or should I call you Kelly?
Yes, Kelly. Thank you. Where can people find you if they want to connect with you?
Oh, you can hit up www.northcentralmass.com. And my email is super easy. It's kdeal@northcentralmass.com. I am always open to people reaching out to me. I love it. As I said, I'm an extra extrovert. So feel free to hit me up.
Yes. I'm an extra extrovert too. Thank you. I love that. Two extra extras for your weekly boost of speaking of events. We'll put those in the show notes as well. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you to our audience for listening. If you like events, if you love events, even if you loathe events, but who does? Tell someone about this podcast and give us some stars. Come on, people, on iTunes. You can do it. And thanks, Kat Deal and Pepper and Sage and Patty and Rosemary, and I'm excited that they're helping you out. And remember that whatever you speak about, remember to be speaking of events. Have a fantastic day.
Speaking of events is sponsored by Ovation, the gold standard for professional presence and speaker development training, helping everyone get prepared, get confident, and get ovation.